Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello one and all, and welcome to the latest episode of Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, but also give you an insight into the automotive world, whether that is on social media or just in life. Today, I am joined by a guest I've been wanting to get on this show ever since I launched it, someone who is a firm favourite of the YouTube channel, Mr. Lenny the Geezer.
Hello, one and all. I can't help but do that.
I can't help when I see you go, oh, I'm out to get.
Yeah, sort of like morph into each other a little bit, don't we?
We cross over and by the end of the day, people will get us very confused.
Just a couple of pair of geezers.
I'm so not a geezer, no matter how hard I try.
No.
Listeners may feel like the acoustics of today's podcast are slightly off.
Let's set up the scene, shall we?
Yes. Today we're recording Behind the Glass. Quite an interesting scene. You may have seen on the YouTube channel, maybe a few weeks ago now, that Lenny came into Knightsbridge in a Ford Transit to film an update on the My Next Daily series. We are now recording the podcast in that
in
transit.
In the transit, yes. The MSRT Ford Transit, and we are in the back of it like a pair of shady geezers.
It's the weirdest setup.
It's really strange. I'm just waiting for pedestrians to walk past and look at us like, what are you doing?
But what's better is we are doing it parked up in Knightsbridge. We're literally like this really fancy street in a blacked out van.
Yeah.
Two guys in the back.
It's weird. It's very weird. Move on. Very quickly. So we've set the scene. Anyway,
we've set the scene, so welcome. Now, I don't really know where to begin explaining who you are, what you do. Okay, let's go right back.
Yeah.
We're gonna touch on how we met, and you know, and what work we've done.
Our body of work,
we've done together. Yeah. But I want to know for you, how did you get into social media? Where did it all start?
It's quite a short story, but I mean, basically, I was on Facebook. I wasn't really enjoying it. You know, I was sort of a little bit bored of it. People were either moaning, boasting, showing pictures of their food or kids or something like that. And I'm just
sounds like my profile. Were you following me?
It's just really not interesting. I came off it about 4 years ago and I started an Instagram page. And I was just posting things that I liked. Cars, you know, I'm into my clothing, but mostly cars. It was a car-based thing. And then my profile just grew and grew. I became friends with Lord Aleem.
Sure.
And then obviously we went to a couple of car shows together, so I shared some of his followers. You know, he used to promote me a little bit. But then I became friends with Yanni from Yanimize as well. Really good friends, one of my best pals. And we went to car shows. So I suppose, you know, linking with people, you share their followers, and that's how my profile grew and grew. But I'd like to think it's because the content was good as well.
Well, it wasn't. It was purely... No, but just to come back to that quickly, actually, because you say, you know, you hope the content was good. You weren't just a guy posting the stuff you were interested in. It was very comedic.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it started with like short 15-second videos. So I was working in London. You know, 2 years ago, I was in a job where I was supplying survey equipment, quite a boring thing, in London. And I was working in and around Central and West London, and I was always stuck in traffic. So to entertain myself, I used to do little 15-second sort of comedy skits. And people seem to like that and enjoy that. I don't get to do it as much anymore, but yeah, I think that's where it started. You know, as soon as a couple of them get shared on big pages, that's where the following grows. But yeah, I mean,
it was definitely a different side It's a unique selling point. That's exactly what it was. Because I definitely discovered you first through Aleem's videos, I think, was for sure. So those of you that don't know Lord Aleem, I guess we say he was a big automotive YouTuber. Does he still make content?
I don't think he YouTubes as much now, but I mean, he was really one of the first to be massive on social media with cars and stuff like that. You know,
for sure, one of the big vloggers based out of Birmingham and was doing, you know, was doing regular content.
Yeah,
and
for
sure, I was one of the subscribers, still am, but he just isn't making as many videos. But yeah, came across you through that and then checked out your Instagram page. And for sure, it was those little videos in the sort of comedic post that got me interested and thought, oh, this guy's funny. I want to follow him rather than this guy wears cool clothes because you don't. Actually, you know what? You got a Moncler
polo.
This we need to talk about.
Right, okay. So...
You've been busted. You are out of here.
Right, because you'd recognise this from skiing, wouldn't you? Not for just wearing it because it's like a nice cool brand.
So I reckon
wore that in the Alps. And,
wear a polo shirt in the Alps. Oh, it'd be freezing. Unless you're inside the chalet.
I still forget why we're friends. I mean, it's just like the strangest
thing. It's
nice
that you call us friends, though. It means a lot to me. I just noticed. Oh, I thought that.
Sparco bucket seats. We're staring at
a bucket seats in a van. I thought they were carbon fiber for a second, but it's just fabric.
Not quite there.
Anyway, let's then, I guess, move on to how we met and then how we started filming videos.
Let me talk about how we met.
Damn it.
So, again, with Yanni from Yanimize, we were in his, I think it was his rose gold Ferrari 458, which was the title. You know, that's an amazing car. Obviously, Yanni does some amazing things with car apps, but I think that was the one that really sort of went flying, didn't it? So we were going to a car show in Birmingham, I think it was. Now, we all met at South Mimms.
South Mimms.
And there was this weird little bald kid in the corner of the services stalking us with a camera on his head, and I was like, who's that guy? That's real strange. What is he doing? And you didn't, you know what, I don't think you even sort of came in and said, like, you were just in the background.
Didn't say a thing.
So I was a little bit sort of suspicious, like, what is this geezer doing? Is he undercover old Bill? Is he busting us for something? I don't know what it is. And then I discovered your YouTube channel, and without blowing smoke up your bum,
please continue.
It was so refreshing and so entertaining. And you know, you yourself, you're quite a funny guy. So it was very entertaining. And then that's when we started sort of following each other and
absolutely, you know, I remember that so well, and I'm actually quite honoured that you remembered it as well.
only because it was some weird little geezer like following us about with cameras.
One of the most traumatic experiences of your life. But it was literally that. I remember I honestly must have only been doing the channel for 3 or 4 months, and I heard about this, you know, this drive up to, I can't remember what the car event was. I think it was an Aleem
event. I think it was MSL Performance, wasn't it?
Something like that. I can't remember, but I remember Yanni posting that it was going to be a big convoy, and I was like, look, I mean, why not? I'm going to get involved in this. Yeah. But I knew no one. I had spoken to no one. And I turned up and I literally was there by myself filming, like, following supercars in the TTS like, you know. And it's quite interesting that you said you noticed, because I definitely remember sitting back and parking kind of away from the group and kind of watching from the outside. Didn't think that anyone would knew who I was or noticed me.
But that's the best thing about the car scene, you know. And whether it's still like that today, I'm not sure, but I mean, you know, you meet really, I mean, Yanni is one of my best mates now, and you know, I only met him through the car scene and social media and that's how the majority of my friends are now from social media.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's
such a powerful tool, and if you use it in the right way, I mean, I'm sure you get the same. I get asked all the time, how do I grow my social media following? All the time people ask me, and I was lucky enough to have, you know, a couple of people who like my stuff, who like to repost it, so I gained followers from them. But if I gave someone a shout out and said, go follow this guy, and they go onto the page and it's not very entertaining, the posts aren't very good, or they're not posting regularly, why would people follow you? So, you know, like you, I mean, you post good content, you know, and that's where the subscribers have come, you know, and that's key. It's got to be good. It's got to be engaging.
Engaging, I think, is exactly that. And you know, and have a sort of a formula, you know.
Of course.
If you're too sporadic and posting lots of different things, people can't identify with you. They don't know what to expect from your
page. Without trying to sound overly humble or anything like that, I mean, I can appreciate all cars. You know, I mean, we're in a van at the moment.
Yeah, we literally are in a van.
Next weekend, I could be in a Lamborghini Huracan. The weekend weekend after. You know, I love classic like Escort Cosworths and stuff like that. So I think where I came into it, that my content was a little bit different to everyone else's. You know, maybe because I'm a little bit older. So I'm 34. So I grew up in the days of Max Power and Fast Car magazine. So you know, my favourite car was the Escort Cosworth. And amazing. You know, I think a lot of the younger sort of petrol heads or you know supercar photographers, they sort of see past cars like that. And that,
absolutely.
You know,
well, you know what? It's because it's
and actually before let me interrupt you a minute there, because I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm sure I remember saying it's you and Mr. Paul Wallace, the lovely Mr. Paul Wallace. I remember watching a video of you two, and you were walking around a car park, and I thought, oh, this is good, a couple of petrol heads walking around like a classic car show. You walked straight past a Lotus.
You have never let this go.
Past a Lotus Coulton without even looking at it. And I will never forget that.
I think every time we meet, you find a way to bring this up.
I'm a petrol head, yeah. Yeah, I'm a petrol head. Right. What about that Lotus Coulton in the corner, mate? Like,
what a fail. but you know what? This is such an interesting point, because I think when I first started my YouTube channel and started taking it seriously, at least, I was very aware that the views or the interest was around supercars.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like this, there was this big upturn or this movement towards supercars on YouTube. So that's what I focused on, because I was like, okay, this is what people want to see. That was crazy. That was like a 720S followed by the 80.
80 van. That was amazing.
The things you see in Knightsbridge.
I know.
Like two guys sitting in a van making a podcast. But yeah, no, that's exactly it. And it's only with time that I've had the confidence to be able to open the channel up and do the stuff that I want to be doing and not be nervous about views and you know, just enjoy myself.
Exactly,
and for sure, like, for example, the classics is a side that I've really enjoyed allowing myself to go out there and film.
Yeah.
And, you know,
because
I think,
let's face it, I mean, it is quite an oversaturated thing.
Massively oversaturated.
You know, supercars in London.
So you've got to enjoy it and find it and not get caught up in the sort of the bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I guess brings us on to our first few videos, because for sure, where my channel was at the time, the stuff that we did and still do stands out from anything else I do
on my channel. Does it really?
100%. Because I think, I would like to think that we've created this kind of little tiny little sub-series, you know, like Sam and Lenny, Chalk and Cheese,
Keezer
and
Jen. What are you talking about? We're
Keezer
exactly the same. Listen to us. We could be twins.
We are brothers from another mother.
But the nice thing is, I suppose, it is a genuine thing. I mean, well, I wouldn't say to your face, but I'm going to have to now. I genuinely do enjoy your company.
Oh, mate,
which is way too kind. Horrible for me to say. But
I literally do it for the views. So.
Because I gather your friends, most of your friends are called Tarquin, and you
they went
to private school, and they
you know
eat
what?
Foie gras.
I was watching
like
Made in Chelsea. I haven't watched Made in Chelsea for a while because all of my friends left.
Yeah, okay. You look like Jamie Lang without hair, though.
You know, he shaved off his head, and everyone's like, oh, are you on Made in Chelsea now? Anyway, I turned up the other day with a friend, and we were watching it. Why did I say with a friend? It was with my girlfriend. I don't know why I said
wow.
That was weird.
Right. Boom. Right. Exclusive.
Not exclusive. Talked about it a few times before.
Right, okay.
But we were watching it, and you know, it was like Mimi and Julius and Ralph.
What are these people?
And she's like, what are these names? I was like, that's the normal name. What are your friends called? Julius. Everyone's called Julius, aren't they? Most popular name in the UK, Julius.
Julius. Oh, my days.
Well, when we first started filming together, we basically, you remain the only person that I turn up, stick a GoPro up, we film for 20 minutes, and it's usually gold. Like, do you know what I mean? Maybe only we enjoy it.
I think it's maybe because it's 20 minutes of me literally just taking a piss out of you and how
bosh
you are.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I think it's because it comes across natural, and you know, and it's nice that people enjoy watching it. But who else would bring a transit van to show you for a daily driver, you know?
Well, that's exactly it. I think, you know, it's a different angle for the channel. It's refreshing, and also I think they like the sort of the comedic sparring between us. But let's move things on, because as I say, that's where you kind
of
began.
That's smoking, like, you know,
exactly,
like, blowing smoke up each other. You're amazing.
Your
content is brilliant. Thank you.
Let's move on to the fact that you left that job.
Yeah.
What were you saying? Surveying?
So it was survey equipment.
Supplying
so GPS, lasers, the odd lights, that sort of thing. I mean, I was in it for about 8 years.
Okay.
I didn't really enjoy it. I liked the people I was working with. if I was going on to building sites, you know, the big Crossrail projects in central London. I was supplying them, so meeting a lot of interesting people. But you know, it was a job. It wasn't.
It wasn't
a passion.
It
was paying. You know, it was paying the bills, and that was it. I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, coming into London. Oh, it was horrible. So that's why I look so aged at 34. You know, waking up at 5 o'clock.
Also tanned. I was gonna say, you are incredibly tanned right now.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I've been on a couple of holidays this year too. The Electric Beach. let's move on.
Lenny, you shouldn't. You know how dangerous those are.
Really?
Honestly, my mum is going to call you and talk to you about this because it's very bad for your health.
Tell your mum, because I know your mum likes my
stuff.
She's a big
fan.
Yeah, she's a big fan. So tell your mum not to worry. I'm quitting the sunbeds.
Please. You are looking very
rude. I just
feel
healthy.
So when did you leave that job?
So an opportunity.
Because you don't do that anymore.
Yeah. So again, becoming friends with people through social media. I became friends with Simon, who runs Urban Automotive. Started with modifying Defenders, then moved on to Range Rover Sports and Vogues, and now the Velar. So we became friends, and we were sort of talking one day that how he might need to expand, and how he might need someone, to start selling, doing a few bits for the social media and stuff like that. So. After being in this job for 8 years, I was given this amazing opportunity with a company that's just growing and growing and growing, and you know, who I was a fan of as well before I started working there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we produced some amazing looking cars. So I started with Urban, and you know, it's been an absolute dream come true. You know, to be able to work within the car industry, you know, and work with things that I love. I mean, it's been an absolute life changer. Without sounding soppy, it's just absolutely brilliant. It's opened up new doors to other things. But yeah, I absolutely love it.
Massive change in career. You know, that's not like, oh, you went from supplying survey materials and then I was driving the van.
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
Getting more involved.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
that's a brave step.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was because the job was good, and it was a comfortable job. It was fairly well paid, but I just wasn't enjoying it. And to be given an opportunity to be able to work with cars was just, like I say, it was an absolute dream. A little bit of luck as well, being in the right place at the right time. I'm not sure, because this is the other thing.
I'm a big thing of you make your own luck.
Yeah,
you definitely make your own luck.
I do get the odd email, the odd DM from young lads who are sort of 15, 16, or sometimes even girls who want to get into the sort of car industry. What do you do, Lenny? What college courses do I have to take? And I sort of almost embarrassingly have to say to him, look, I was probably just in the right place at the right time. I built my social media up. I knew the right people, and I sort of managed to get into a good company. So for as far as advice goes, it's quite difficult for me to give, you know.
No, but at the same time, as I say, Simon wouldn't have taken you seriously without the sort of work you've done, whether it's through social media and networking and stuff like that. You know, he never would have even thought up that opportunity if you hadn't worked hard.
But social media is such a powerful tool. It's such an interesting tool as well. I mean, but going from, you know, sort of 3.5 years ago from being in a job that, you know, was all right, but I wasn't fussed about, and not having a social media presence, from going that to having, you know, 157,000 people following me and watching what I do, and get, you know, driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris, and, you know, having all these opportunities, and getting a new job as well. I mean, it's weird. I have to pinch myself sometimes.
Do you ever sit back and listen, 157,000 people follow you?
I mean, how many people fill Wembley Stadium? What's that, 95,000? I'm not so sure. When I think about it in numbers like that, I do think, what is
Because a
going
lot of the
on?
Time, if you have social media pages, you do just become a number cruncher, don't you? You go, oh, that photo got that many likes, or that video got that many views, and you don't really think about it apart from just as numbers.
Yeah.
But when you stop and go, 157,000 people follow you, 157,000, mate, that is huge.
Yeah, and it's nice, and it is a nice feeling to know that people like what I do, what I post and stuff like that. But I think the key is to never believe your own hype and just keep doing what you're doing, you know.
Absolutely. As much as we might build up our own hype in this interview. But do you find, now that you're at Urban, now that you're working in the automotive sphere, you've had to like pull back on your social media a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think what I wanted to do was, I wanted to be taken a little bit more seriously. You know, I'm selling luxury cars for a living, so I suppose I did tone down the 15-second comedy videos a little bit. And I have toned down the social media a little bit, but you know, my following is still growing, so obviously people are still enjoying the content. But I'm a representative of Urban, so I have
Absolutely.
To, you know, sort of represent Urban in the right way. I like to think that I'm doing that, but while trying to keep on the Lenny the Geezer vibe as well, you know, the Lenny the Geezer character, if
of
it is
course,
a character.
I mean,
you know,
no, it is.
It's just a sort of caricature of myself.
That's exactly what it is. You know, even big daily vloggers on YouTube,
yeah,
people forget that those are caricatures, yeah, of their, like Casey Neistat.
Because look at you, your name's Dave and you live in East
Bethnal
Green, so this posh act,
when I'm not recording, which is me. Hey, that's how we met. We met on a building site, didn't we?
Yeah,
what,
like that.
But you know, because not everybody is super interesting or super energetic 100% of the time.
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No one is. You know,
no.
You can sit here and you can fanboy over your John Olsons, your Casey Neistats, yeah, whoever. But you are seeing a set percentage of their life,
of course,
and what they choose to let you see.
Exactly.
And I'm never going to start a video going, hey guys, like, happy Sunday. Can't be asked to do much today. Like, you're like,
why?
Who wants to
see that?
So you have to bring the energy in. So Lenny the Geezer is definitely a caricature. Sam from Seen Through Glass is definitely,
yeah,
a caricature.
Yeah.
I like to try and be as authentic as possible.
Right, yeah.
But for sure, you've had to change because your life has changed,
yeah,
massively. And
yeah,
I'm certain that whilst you might have 157,000 followers, there'll be a split between people who come into Urban and know who you are, mm, and people who don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't want a potential client or customer then strolling across you being like, you know, oh, geez, you are, oh, I drink.
Done
away,
a bank job in a transit, ain't I?
Exactly, because they're going to be like, who am I buying a car from?
Exactly, and that's where I had to sort of tone it down quite a lot. But, you know, with maintaining the sort of theme a little bit, you know. But I think it's all going well. And
absolutely. And you know, we've done a video at Urban, which was great.
Yeah.
We were looking for my dad's replacement. Do you know what he did?
What did he do in the end?
He bought another Range Rover Sport.
Oh.
So any of you don't know the story, I went over to see Lenny and filmed a video talking about my dad looking to replace his Range Rover Sport. I think this is maybe his fifth.
Really?
Now, every time he goes through this whole thing, he gets me really excited. He's like, oh,
maybe I should get a modified
one. I should get something else.
Carbon fiber bumpers,
well,
and 23 inch alloys.
He quite necessarily does that. His middle name is St. Clair. He does contemplate changing, and I get really excited and I present, like, you know, what about a Panamera?
Oh, yeah,
what about,
yeah,
a Mulsanne?
Yeah,
or,
yeah, yeah.
And it just ends up in another Range Rover Sport.
Well, if you like what you like. Well, you know, I've just done the same, haven't I, with the Golf. You know, I had a Mark 7 Lapis Blue Golf R, which I absolutely loved, and I loved it that much that September 1st, when the 67 Reg came out, I just got another one.
Straight in?
Yeah, straight
in. No,
I did test drive a couple of other cars, A45 AMG,
okay,
RS3, S3. And do you know what? For the money, I just couldn't find a better car.
Really?
It just does everything
pound
so
for
well.
Pound.
And if you follow me on my Instagram, you'll see how much of a fanboy I am about the Golf R. I mean, it's my dad's always had performance. He had a Golf GTI when I was young.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've always loved the Golfs. I mean, we were saying earlier, they're classless. You know, you can have the older gentleman love them. You have a young boy racer love them, you know, where you wouldn't find a 65-year-old man in a Civic Type R, you might find him in a Golf R, you know, and the same with a 20-year-old. But it's, I love that car. So I went for black leather, black alloys, a few nice little options. The first brand new car that I was actually able
to
spec
so
up
myself. Cool, that's myself. So cool. I've still never done that. It must be amazing.
It was really, really nice to be able to spec it up how I want it, and I absolutely love it. And the nice thing was that, you know, everyone on my social media, that I've not had one negative comment about. I have the odds, why didn't you get an RS3, or why didn't you get an M4 or C63? And again, we had this discussion earlier about do I go for a C63 and sort of stretch my financial situation and just to show off a little bit more social media? And okay. I kind of decided not to. I thought, well, look, I love the Golf R so much, why not I just get another one? I don't need to impress you know, these people. And that's what I did.
And I absolutely love it. It's a very wise and sensible choice. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the hype of social media and see everyone doing things, and especially these days, everyone in the world now who buys a new car puts it on social media. All I see is, oh, picking up my new Aventador S. Oh, picking up my... And I'm like, God, kill me now.
Who was I talking to about this? My mate Zach, my barber, right? So he's quite... He's a successful chap. I've known him for about 15, 20 years.
Okay.
He was cutting my hair when he was 16. Bought his first barbershop when he was like 19, and now he's got about 4 or 5 shops and about 14 of these little pods that go
in.
So
awesome.
He's done very, very well. And he's looking at buying a Lamborghini Huracan Spider.
Wow, good
so
man.
So absolutely
good
amazing
man.
To see him go from, you know, being a young lad to, you know, doing his thing and becoming successful and looking to buy his dream car. But we went to Supercar Sunday at the Chambord, which is mine and Yanni's favourite car show, right?
Sure.
We go there every year. And he almost got a little bit demotivated.
Really?
Yeah, because he was looking around. He was like, these Huracans are like smart cars. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
You've got a Bugatti Veyron and a Porsche 918 and a Pagani, and then you see a Lamborghini Huracan like it's a Ford Mondeo, forgetting that if he was to get one, that's his dream car. But that's the trouble, that, you know, social media and car shows and stuff like that do sort of desensitize you to
massively desensitize.
You know,
driving around today, we did our little couple of laps in this transit.
Yeah,
we saw GTRs, we saw Maseratis, we saw everything, and
it's like black cabs, isn't it?
It's just literally like black cabs, and it's awful. It's awful how desensitized you become.
I mean, I'm sure you remember as well. I mean, you are slightly younger than me. But when I used to be a kid coming into London with my mum and dad, and I used to see a red Ferrari go down the
road.
Was
it a 360?
It would have been older than that. It would have been a 348.
Okay.
It would have been a 348. Yeah. So, I mean,
but it was special, wasn't it?
It was like seeing a spaceship drive down the road.
It was only about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 10, that this kind of supercar madness really happened. Now you come to London, you will see supercars.
You
know what I get? It's so funny. People will send me messages going, oh, I'm visiting London and I want to do some supercar spotting. And I'm like, just go to Knightsbridge, you will see supercars. And they send me messages and they're like, oh, I didn't really see much. I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, like, there was a few 458s and I saw a few GT3s.
And I'm like,
dude, that's supercars. Like, what were you? Like, oh, yeah, but I wanted to see a hypercar. Come on.
Oh, wow. See, people are spoiled now, aren't they?
Spoiled. That's exactly it. You know, they want the next best thing. But there weren't that many,
you know, I don't know, maybe I just don't remember right, but when I used to come to London as a kid, I don't think there was that many supercars about.
No, not at all.
It wasn't as accessible
when you saw a Ferrari or a Porsche. Yeah. You were like, wow.
Yeah, but now I'm driving them like an absolute geezer.
Mate,
honestly,
where has life taken
us? It's absolutely bizarre. You know, we're not getting handed the keys to a Lamborghini Huracan. Just go and have fun in it. I mean, this Wednesday I'm driving a couple of Aventador S's.
At the same time?
Yeah, at the same time, like leaning out the window like you do with a couple of push bikes. But that's my ultimate, that's my dream car, the Aventador.
Really?
Yeah, and I know that there's better driving cars out there. And I know they're not particularly that nice to drive, and I know they're a bit of a poser's car, but for me, that's the ultimate. You know,
it's how cars make you feel.
Yeah,
I
grew up with the Cannonball Run films. You know, Cannonball Run 2, the opening 5 minutes with the red Lamborghini Countach, and I just think the Aventador is the closest thing to that. You know, the Countach, the poster car. You know, the silly doors and the big loud V12 and
But you know what? This is exactly why I've bought this manual 360.
Yeah,
it's exactly why.
Which, by the way, I'm very, very happy for you.
That is amazing.
I mean,
that pains you to say. I appreciate that massively.
That's amazing.
But
absolutely amazing.
It's all that because, you know what? It would have been relatively easily, maybe not financially, but relatively easy for me to go out there and buy an Audi R8 V10 Plus or a GT3 or whatever. And sure, it would have been great. But I didn't want that experience.
No.
I wanted a car that I could love. I didn't need a car that was the fastest, that was the best, that I just wanted something that I could adore. And that car was the car that when I was growing up was the thing that I went crazy about. That was the Ferrari supercar.
Exactly the same with me with the Escort Cosworth. It's a 20-year-old Ford Escort. And, you know, good ones are going now for about 50, 60 grand. But if I came into a lot of money or if I won the lottery...
Let me introduce you to my finance man.
Yeah, that would literally be the first car that I would buy. 100% before any Lambos, Ferraris or anything. And I've got my three-car garage. Was that one of your questions? Because I'm going to tell you anyway.
No, we weren't going to get there.
Do you want me to tell you now?
Go for it. Three-car garage.
So, Ford Escort Cosworth.
Okay. Again, Magnitude Finance. I can introduce you. I'm sure they can help you out.
Lamborghini Aventador. Okay. And I still haven't really decided whether it's going to be an S, an SV, a Roadster, or a Novatec. You know,
just
an Aventador of some form.
Some kind of Aventador.
And an Urban Range Rover SVR.
Okay, that's a pretty solid three-car
but
garage.
But I've actually got two wild cards as well. I've done a lot of thinking about this.
I mean, I don't know if you're allowed wild cards.
Well,
I thought this was my
interview, anyway. What are you
going to
do? Well, we're stuck in a transit van together. What are we going to do? So, Eleanor, GT500,
okay,
Mustang.
Interesting.
And this is probably not what you think from me, but a Rolls-Royce Wraith Black Badge.
You know what? Okay. Yes. Yes. Because we did a video on a Wraith. And I said that car suited you so much. Honestly.
Yeah.
There was something which it's got the side of sort of slight gangster who's done well.
My granddad, right? He used to roll
Rob
about.
Sorry.
He used to roll about in a chocolate brown Jaguar XJ with a sheepskin jacket. Right now, I just, you know, that's just I just aspire to be like that, you know. I think a modern day version of that would be a black badge Rolls Royce Wraith wearing a Stone Island Parker. Do you know what I mean? And that is a bit of me.
Stone Island Parker. But you know what? I just came back from the Rolls Royce Phantom 8 launch event. Just gonna name drop there. But the car I fell in love with there was the Ghost black badge.
Yeah. It's such an amazing thing.
Honestly, you've got to be big money.
Did it have purple or blue?
No, it was a black and white.
Really?
It was a brand new car with the sports exhaust, which has six tailpipes.
Stop it.
Six.
Yeah.
It was dark blue, all the black bits.
They're just awesome,
aren't
they?
As I say, it's big money. We're talking big money. You've got to be a big player to go there. But in terms of that, I would put that straight into my five car garage.
I think that's got cool factor.
Oh my God, it's got such massive cool factor.
Do you know what? And all these cars that I'm lucky enough to drive. So whenever I used to drive a Lambo, whether it be an orange or green Hurricane, you know, Spider or Coupe, whatever, you'd get a 50-50 reaction from people. You'd either get a thumbs up, nice car, mate, or look at this posing twat.
Literally, get out of here.
I had a white Rolls-Royce Wraith that we did a video on, white leather, and I'd say 99% of the people that came across that car, it was positive vibe, because it's just
There's nothing shouty about it. I just thought of a video idea.
Go on.
I'm going to email Rolls-Royce.
Yeah.
Let's get a Wraith black badge, you and me, and let's take it to really sketchy, weird places and see what the reaction is.
Let's do it.
Maybe you should have the Wraith.
Right, okay.
And I'll bring an event store or something.
Okay.
And let's see who gets stabbed first. I feel like it's going
to
be me.
I know a couple of places that we could go
to. Because you've got such a point there that Rolls-Royce is a weird one where, firstly, in the last 10 or 20 years, their image has become a lot more sort of credible and cool through hip-hop and R&B.
I would have never have looked at Rolls Royces.
No,
not a chance.
Like, you know, really stuffy, like old men,
but
always
the Dawn. You know, when they launched the Dawn in that dark blue with the Hermes orange leather interior, I was just—it's getting a bit hot and sweaty. It's bad, isn't it? Oh God, I hope the windows don't steam up.
I honestly am so keen to do another Rolls Royce video, and we should do something like that. Take it somewhere.
Well,
weird.
Look, you've got more power than me and you could. I'm sure you can draft a nice email, or you just ring them because your voice is a lot more. Rolls Royce or not. All right, geez, don't suppose you've got any of their black badge Rolls Royces lying about that I could borrow.
Can I also say, like, I doubt he listens to this, but the best guy, Rolls Royce.
Do you know Mr. Royce?
No. He's called Terrence.
Oh,
I just love that.
Geezer
he's
like
the coolest.
Terrence.
He's the coolest guy.
Does he wear a cravat?
So sharply dressed. No, he's got like a little sort of neat beard. Oh, he's great. And he's just called Terrence. And I was like, Terrence.
Just Terrence just sounds nice.
What a lad, right?
What happened to names like Terrence?
I know.
Right, get Terrence on board then.
We'll do
a little video.
Now, to sort of round things off, I do want to bash through some sort of slightly more quick, fiery type questions.
Okay.
First car.
First car, I had a Fiesta, a Mark III 1990 Fiesta XR2i replica.
I was like, wow, yeah, but that's amazing.
The insurance wasn't too bad back in the day. But so it was a Fiesta 1.1 popular plus. But I mean, when I say replica, I mean, it had everything, even down to the cutting sunroof. So it was
that's
complete
incredible.
Replica. Awesome.
Okay, fine. Next car,
Escort RS Turbo. Okay. Series 2 Escort RS Turbo. There's a Ford theme running here, isn't
it? There's a big Ford theme.
So,
we are not sponsored by Ford.
All my money on. My mum and dad hated me because I used to wake them up in the morning and at night time because it was so loud because it was ridiculous. And yeah, the RS Turbo, that was my second car.
Okay, and then the true meaning of that question, what would your next car be after the Golf? But I appreciate knowing your second car because it was quite cool.
Yeah. I think it's time to grow up. So, I've had my fun with the hot hatches. I've got the Golf for 2 years. So, do you know what? I just love an urban Range Rover Sport. Oh. And that's not me just sort of plugging the company I work for. That's what I would have anyway. I mean, for a daily, they're just so cool looking.
Sure.
A black Range Rover Sport with the urban kit and 23-inch alloys. That's a bit of me. So, that's my goal anyway.
Sure.
I think it's good to have goals. And that's what I'm looking to get in that 2 years time.
What would your last car be if you were to we're talking you could, any age? You might say, okay, well, I want to die at 45 on a parachute accident.
That's
sure.
an interesting question.
But what do you want your last car?
How many
car
times
to be?
Have I said Escort Cosworth in this podcast?
You can say it one more time
if
you want.
I think it will be that. You could pick any car from Bugattis to Paganis, but
sure.
I think there's just one car that's been, you know, since its launch in 92, you know, when I first saw that I was 9 years old, and I just thought, what is this rally car for the road? And I think that, as ridiculous as it is, I think that has always been in the back of my head.
Fair
enough.
So
I think that'll be the one.
That'll be the one.
I'll be buried in. I'll be one of those weird,
Please,
weird people
that
gets buried in
the car gets lowered into the ground. Okay, Instagram or YouTube?
Oh, Instagram for me.
Yeah.
I tried YouTube. I just don't have the time, the patience. The I'm not that great with technology. You know, I do everything off my phone. You know, Instagram posts, editing the posts, editing the videos, everything from my phone. And I'm just no good. I don't know how you do it with all these GoPros and stuff like that. So, I didn't really vibe with YouTube. I'm not that bothered with it. So Instagram for me. Instagram for me, yeah.
Shmi 150 or Seb Delaney?
I met Shmi the other week and a few weeks back at the MotoGP. We had a good chat. I haven't spent much time with Seb. I met him once.
Sure.
But yeah, Tim was an interesting character to talk to. So Shmi. Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Fair enough. If you had to pick one other city in the world to live in, not in the UK?
New York.
New York. Oh, yes. You got married in New York,
I got married
didn't
in
you?
New York. Yeah, yeah. So
awesome.
My wife is from Scotland. So all my lot are down here, all her lot are up there. So we said, you know what? We'll just take ourselves away and just get married on the top of the Rockefeller Center.
Cool.
So
oh my God.
It was the coolest thing.
Then
stress-free wedding as well. So.
Do you remember that film Gangs of New York?
Yes, I
Were
do.
Were you in that film?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. amazing. Okay, 80s or 90s?
90s for me.
Okay.
Like I say, Max Power days,
sure.
You know, that sort of.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Max Power days.
Coldplay or Jay-Z?
Who are Coldplay?
You
are so Chris Martin.
Honestly,
like,
biggest fanboy ever.
Yeah.
William contemplated it. Lewis Hamilton just went on a plant-based diet. I was like, I need to do it now.
Oh,
if Lewis and
I
Chris
I can't
are.
Believe that was even a question. I mean, ridiculous.
Formula One or Rally?
BTCC.
Ah, okay.
Throwing that out there. Do you know what? This sounds really soppy, but after Ayrton Senna's death,
how old
would I have been? Like 7 or 8?
And that 94. Broke
94, so I was 10.
Wow. Okay.
About 9 turning 10. So that broke my heart.
Sure.
I mean, he was everyone's hero, wasn't he?
Of course, yeah. Icon.
And after that, I just wasn't that interested anymore. I just think, he was a true racing driver. And there's not that many out there now that are as savage on the track that want to actually overtake each other. And then, so later on, I got into the BTCC. Do you remember when it was all Renault Lagunas and Mondeos and Vectras?
Proper bits.
And the Volvo estate. Do you remember that? Yes.
Wow.
So, but that was proper racing, bumping and grinding and stuff.
Yeah.
So, BTCC for me.
Okay. And final question, what should my next daily be?
Now then.
I'm open to any ideas.
You're not quite cool enough for the urban Range Rover, right?
As much as I'm desperate
or
to be.
Velar, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have the same car as me, no matter how amazing the Golf R is. I think the Ford Transit MSRT isn't exactly practical for you, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know, really, mate. You know,
Have you grown to enjoy the Abarth?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. My wife has got a Fiat 500.
But that's not a Fiat 500. I know it looks like
it's
one.
It's a Fiat 500. I genuinely think that I could topple that over if I wanted to. Like, just a quick deadlift. I'm not into it, mate. I'm not into
it. Okay, so it's not another Fiat 500. Basically, I should get something
Yeah, I think maybe a little two-seater sports car for you. Okay. Something that's practical, but you know, but okay, still have a bit of fun, you know.
Okay, well, I appreciate the help and advice, and as we discovered in today's video, you've been relatively useless. But that was actually quite informational.
Okay.
So that draws an end to
it.
That's it, mate.
That was easy. Yeah, that was easy. I suppose it is just like talking.
It's just a bit of a chat, isn't it? It's just a bit of a chance to have a natter, and then hopefully people tune in and enjoy it.
Good.
Hopefully you guys did enjoy it. If you did, make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you're following for future episodes. You can follow at the moment on SoundCloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes, just search Seen Through Glass or Behind the Glass. And yes, I am still working on getting this podcast on other platforms. I'm really useless at that, but I just don't seem to have the time. Anyway, future guests still to come. Lenny, thank you very much for coming down
and
joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for creating this studio in the back of a van. Yeah. You can make sure to follow Lenny on various social media platforms, Instagram.
Mostly Instagram.
Lenny the Geezer. Perfect. And we will draw an end there. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.